right, are we ready? Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Garrett, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Biggs.
Here.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President Bruce.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I got to say, I got to start my day by reading to a first grade, third grade, and kindergarten class. And so at the very beginning of the day was a first grade class. They did the Pledge of Allegiance, and that was probably the coolest thing I've seen in a really long time. So made my day to begin with. First item is the consent agenda. Is there anything... You want pulled for discussion, or
okay? I move we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for approval of the consent agenda as printed. Is there any discussion on that motion? All those. Oh, I'm sorry, Garrett. Would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember Biggs.
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President Bruce.
Yes.
Mayor Steer.
Yes.
Oh,
my apologies.
That's all right. I'll say yes anyway. All right, that motion carries. Next item is public comment. I didn't have anybody sign in. Is there anybody who wishes to address the council? All right, very good, thank you. External reports, City of Cuna, Idaho, 2024 audited financial statements from Bailey & Company. Welcome.
Okay, so actually you have two sets of financial statements here, your Urban Renewal Agency and the city. So I'll start with the city first. So that is the communication letter, and it kind of summarizes a few things about the audit. But mainly there's just some standard language in there. There's not a whole lot to go over. The middle paragraph there that's sort of indented talks about some of the estimated items that are take a lot of judgment to estimate. And one of those is your compensated absences, so the accumulation that your employees have for their leave time. And the second one is that there is a pollution remediation liability with DEQ, and that was for some wastewater violations at the wastewater plant, and there's a liability on the books for that. And when I get into the financial statements, I'll go into more detail on that. And then the second page of this letter, if there were other items in here that we wanted to address that we consider to be issues that we wanted to bring to your attention but aren't necessarily findings, they would be in this letter, and we did not have anything. So we'll go on to the audit report. And that's on page 3. Okay, so the opinion paragraphs are the first couple of paragraphs there, the actual opinions in the second paragraph. And it's telling you that you have an unmodified opinion on all of your opinion units. And you have the governmental activities, your business type activities, each major fund, and your discretely presented component units. And your aggregate remaining fund information. Those are all of the opinion units. And all of those have unmodified opinions this year. The next paragraph talks about the standard language about the basis for opinions. Next paragraph is your responsibilities, then our responsibilities. And that goes on to the next page. And then the middle paragraph there, the required supplementary information. So you have budgetary comparison schedules in your financial statements, and you have schedules related to PERSI that are in your financial statements. The Governmental Accounting Standards Board requires that that information is presented in your financial statements, but we don't express an opinion on any of that. And then the last paragraph in that section talks about a management's discussion and analysis that as the city grows, it's something that you may want to consider. And because we don't express an opinion on it, it's okay that it's omitted, even if the governmental accounting standard says it's required. And then there's some supplementary information in your financial statements. So that is related to your non-major fund financial statements. It's some combining financial statements. And the last paragraph in that section tells you that we have a clean opinion on that section as well. And then the other information is some expansive information on the on a budget to actual comparison for your general fund. And again, because it's a budget is in there, we don't express an opinion on that section. We don't audit your budget. And then the last paragraph is talking about the report that's at the end of the financial statements. You don't need to go to flip there. I'll just summarize what's in that report. It's the same language it's always been. There's nothing new in there. So that report is telling you that we tested internal controls and compliance because your audit was conducted under government auditing standards. If we had findings, they would show up in that report, and we did not have any findings. We don't express an opinion on either internal controls or compliance, and that's also stated in that report. Okay, and then as far as the financial statements go, I'm just going to hit on a couple of summary information. So on page 12, so this first part that they're scrolling through is your government-wide financial statements. This is the start of your fund financial statements. That's a reconciliation between the two sets of financial statements. Okay, on this page here, so in the bottom right column, about 3/4 of the way down, there's a net change in fund balances line. So that $6 million figure, that's how much your funds, your governmental funds went up for the year. So that's not all of your funds, that's just the governmental funds. And then if we flip to page 17, so this is your business type activities. So this is your water and sewer funds. And on the bottom section there, change in net position, that's how much your utility funds went up for the year, the $5.7 million. And then right above that is the pollution remediation item. So it's been estimated that of the fines that the DEQ is proposing, that's how much you're estimating that you'll actually have to pay of those fines. And that note is further discussed in your financial statements. It's quite a ways into the financial statements. It's on page 35. Okay, right. Oh, yeah, keep going. Sorry. Okay, so that note 9, that talks about that pollution remediation obligation. So you're required to say what you think the liability is going to be, but you also, if there's an idea of how much it could be, if there's a range there, you're supposed to express that as well. So that last sentence is telling you how much it could be, which is that $1,137,500. So, you know, it's one of those things, transparency. That you're required to point that out in your financial statements. And I don't have anything else in these financial statements. I don't know if you noticed when we were looking at page 17 in your utility funds, you have two new utility funds, your Water East and your Sewer East funds. And that's just breaking out your utilities from your traditional water and sewer funds. And then it's the next thing we would go over would be the CUNA Urban Renewal Agency. So that's a component unit, a discrete, what we call a discrete component unit of the city. And the idea is that it's not totally supported by and run by the city. It has its own board. It has its own property taxes. So the city's not, but there still is a benefit-burden relationship there because the Urban Renewal Agency is providing capital assets to the city. So that's your benefit relationship. And so that's what makes it a component unit. So that there's that same letter that we have that we had at the beginning for the city, and there's nothing really different on that other than you don't have the DEQ item or the compensated absences because there's no payroll in the Urban Renewal Agency. So on that one, we just talk about that another estimate in your financial statements is your property tax receivable and the related deferral. And we can touch on that when I get into the financial statements. So we can just go to the audit report next, which starts on page 2 of the financial statements. So again, the first couple of paragraphs there talk about your opinion units and the opinion on the component unit financial statements. So in this entity, there are two opinion units. You have your governmental activities, and then you have your fund information. And so there's two funds in the Urban Renewal Agency, and we'll get into, I'll show you that in a second. The rest of it's all kind of the same information. The required supplementary information that it talks about on the second page is just budgetary comparison schedules because the Urban Renewal Agency does not have payroll, so it wouldn't have anything related to PERSI in it. Okay, so on the financial statements, I'm going to have you go to page 9. So page 9 of your financial statements, on the bottom three lines, the net change in fund balances, far right column. So your component unit went up $496,000. So that number is totally separate from the two numbers that we talked about in the city. That was in the first part of your government-wide financial statements, so it doesn't show up in the fund financial statements of the city. And you can see the two funds that the Urban Renewal Agency has, the West District and the East District. And then I think in the notes to the financial statements, there's nothing really significant going on there that's new. And then there's the report at the end about the audit being conducted under government auditing standards. We looked at internal controls and compliance. We don't express an opinion on either item, and we had no findings. And that's it, unless you have questions.
All right, questions?
No, sir.
Good job, Jerry.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Then next we have a presentation by CHD.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. For the record, Rebecca Phillips with the ACHD Planning Department. I'm here today to talk a little bit about how we program our projects and where those funding sources come from and answer any additional questions on behalf of the Planning Department. So as a refresher of the programming framework, the five-year plan is meticulously structured using a variety of guiding documents and supportive efforts. So it begins with the city and county comprehensive plans. They establish the land use vision, which moves into the communities in motion. This info is utilized for demographic projections and travel demand model. Then these projections that come from that communities in motion model inform the strategic plan. So that's the asset management and resource allocation. And all of those combined then move into their separate own entities. We have asset management We have an ADA plan, a bike master plan, neighborhood plans, and the capital improvement plan. And those are all of the guiding documents that form the ACHD five-year plan and budget. So to touch on some of the funding sources that ACHD utilizes, we get funding from state and federal grants, vehicle registration fees. We get funding for impact fees on developments, and those are used for CIP projects only that aren't in a deficiency. We get funds from property taxes and highway user funds. And then I did want to share a couple project highlights that we have coming up for the area of CUNA. 2026-27, we can look forward to Avalon Street and K, Linder Ave, Swan Falls Road to 2nd Street. We have the Avalon Street, Swan Falls Road, and Orchard Avenue. CUNA pavement and pedestrian improvements 2025. And Linder Road, Main Street to Deer Flat. And those are all coming up here in the next few years. And with that small portion, I can stand for any questions on behalf of our planning team.
Okay, questions on the planning team?
Not yet.
Okay, I'm happy to come up afterwards.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll turn it
much.
Over to Mindy Walls.
Appreciate that.
Mayor Stern and councilmen, I'm Mindy Walls, the Planning Review Supervisor at ACHD, and we are under the umbrella of Development Services, so we are the current planning branch of the Highway District, where Rebecca's team is really focusing on those long-range plans. So before for you tonight, I thought I would kind of give you just a high-level presentation of how we fit into your development process and how we work with Doug and Troy through those processes. What's included in a staff report, and then what improvements can be required through development, and then I'll stand for any questions. And I understand that this will probably be a lot of information, so if you have any questions, just ask, and then if there's anything you want me to revisit, just let me know at the end. Okay. So how do we fit into your process? In terms of current planning, we are a responding agency in that we're responding to transmittals that your staff sends to us every week. So we get your development applications, we screen them, and we say, hey, we really think we need a staff report for this, or hey, we already reviewed a traffic study, so we know that this can be moved through the process to report writing. We review your development applications for compliance with ACHD's policies and standards, and we operate under Section 7200 of our policy manual, which is technical standards for development. And that section of the policy manual really kind of highlights everything that's required for new development to meet all of our current construction standards, ADA, ProAg, kind of a variety of things. And then we respond to you in the form of a staff report. So in our staff reports, we kind of include a summary of existing conditions, anticipated trip generation, level of service thresholds, and then we include findings and recommendations, which are also based on those policies and standards. It includes right-of-way preservation for projects that are in our capital improvements plan, the master street map, as well as the five-year work plan. So part of our main goals is to preserve the opportunity for those future capacity improvements, and we do that through development. If a traffic study is required, we typically will have recommended mitigation, and that could vary. It could be interim signals. A few examples of those in CUNA is the Silver Trail development constructed an interim signal at Columbia and 10 Mile in lieu of the complete capital planned project, which is a roundabout, or when the CTE high school went in over at Linder and Columbia, they also installed an interim signal instead of that full roundabout. So what that does is it mitigates the immediate impacts of the development and gives us a little bit more time to get those capital projects planned and funded. Also, you'll see things like our site-specific conditions of approval, and those are at the very beginning of our staff reports now. And it's really the nuts and bolts of what a developer is required to construct. And it's usually what your city staff is most interested in, as well as any applicants. So I do want to talk a little bit about what we can require through the development process. So we do require the full construction of all collector and local streets through the development process, and that's pavement, curb, gutter, and sidewalk. Specific to your collectors, CUNA has a really robust mid-mile collector network, and many of those roads have been built out, or they're almost completely built out at the mid-mile. Complete curb, gutter, sidewalk, bike facilities, and that's all done at no cost to the taxpayer, all through development. So a few examples of those would be K, Ardell, School, Shayla is a newer one up in North CUNA. Other things in your residential neighborhoods, again, all of your new local neighborhood streets, complete streets with curb, gutter, and sidewalk. We're also looking at traffic calming. A lot of times proposals come in and they have really long straight streets. So we're looking at those through the development process, and you know, if it exceeds 500 to 750 feet in length, we're really looking at how do we slow this down. So it could be, do you have a pathway network? Is there an opportunity for a raised crosswalk? Do you need some bulb outs, or is it a complete redesign? Because we really want these environments to be safe and slow the traffic. Turn lanes, that's another thing that you may see in one of our staff reports. Specific to arterial roadways, which are a little bit different through development, is we have that right-of-way preservation that I just talked about. We require some pavement widening, and that may or may not include a turn lane, and then pedestrian and bicyclist facilities, so a sidewalk or a multi-use pathway. CUNA for a long time has required an 8-foot wide sidewalk on arterials, so they kind of have a little bit of mix and match of that 8 and 10-foot wide facility on an arterial. And then any other mitigation that may be required through a traffic impact study. And I think, was that all I had? Whoever has? And then I can stand for any questions.
May I?
Yes, go ahead.
I have a couple of questions. Yeah. There's a policy that ACHD has that when one subdivision is built and another subdivision is built, 2 or 3 years later, mm-hmm. they always have this is a future throughway.
I guess I don't understand the question.
Well, when one subdivision built, mm-hmm. they have extension roads that are stopped.
Oh, a step street?
Right.
Yep.
Some of our biggest concerns, not mine, citizens, is the complaint they have is those things create traffic. And our biggest complaint from the citizens when these things are new subdivisions are built is more traffic in the subdivision. And I'm wondering why is that policy there?
Councilman Larway, so that's actually a continuation of streets policy that we have to promote connectivity in between the neighborhoods. So part of the reason we have step streets is it provides a public benefit by connecting two neighborhoods together. So, you know, your school buses don't have to travel through a subdivision onto a collector, onto an arterial to turn onto a collector to get to a local street. So it reduces trips that way, also provides connectivity for all of your services, your garbage, your mail, prevents all of those trips on the arterial. And really it helps build community. If you have small children and they all go to the same elementary school and you live in two subdivisions next door, it's a lot easier to ride your bike through a neighborhood street than it is to try to ride through your neighborhood onto an arterial and then back into an adjacent neighborhood. So it really is to provide connectivity.
I understand the connectivity. You can build a sidewalk and have connectivity, or a green belt and have connectivity. But the kids you're talking about play in the street, and you add more traffic into that subdivision. And another part is school buses don't come in the subdivision. They stop on the major roads, at least in our subdivision. They don't come in there. So I'm not quite sure what your policy really fixes.
It is to provide public benefit and connectivity. And you're absolutely right. It can be done via pedestrian facilities, but, you know, if people have public streets, there should be a public benefit, and part of that is connectivity and reducing trips on an arterial network.
Second question. And I don't really know if this is possible, but it seems like a darn good idea. You're talking about redoing Linder between Deer Flat in 2026-27. FCS, okay. We don't have a lot of sidewalks on, we don't have a lot of sidewalks on Linder between Deer Flat and call it Main Street. Why doesn't, if you're going to create the road, why not build the sidewalks? Part of the impact fees.
Impact fees don't pay for pedestrian facilities, only capacity improvements.
Okay. We still are without sidewalks. And I've had people ask me about that repeatedly, and I don't have an answer for them. But if it's part of the future construction...
Yeah, that one in particular, there's sections of sidewalk, and then it's right. Then there's a...
And the kids end up walking in the
walking dirt. In the dirt. Okay. So I don't know the specifics of that, and that's not my area of expertise, but I'm happy to find out and follow up with you. I do also know that we have, through our planning and projects group, which is Rebecca's team, that they have opportunities for you to ask for those types of improvements as part of projects. So we can certainly follow up on that.
Yeah, so those are community projects, and we do have them geared into our five-year plan model. We've even got some south of the tracks along Avalon. That's one that we're working on there because there's no sidewalks over there. That's very dangerous. So we do have those in our community projects.
Mr. Mayor and Councilman Lairway. The project is a corridor improvement project, but it also includes restructuring the roadway with enhanced pedestrian and bike facilities on both sides of the roadway as per the bike master plan and the community neighborhood plan. So this project does include an enhanced crossing across Linder at Porter Street.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, further questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, very good. We appreciate that very much.
Yes, we do not get ACHD here very often. I would love for you to come.
All right, that takes us to public hearings. Case number 24050A, an ordinance amendment on energy production and energy storage. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. City of CUNA Planning and Zoning Department requests a zoning text amendment application. The text changes include modifications to the Development Regulations Code to include Title 5, Chapter 2, Section 3, proposing new definitions for energy production facility, renewable sources, energy storage facility, public service facility, public uses, distribution substations, source substations, transmission lines, and high voltage transmission lines. Second, to Title 5, Chapter 8, Section 503, proposing changes to the schedule of land use regulations, adding energy storage as its own separate use, and removing power plants as an allowed use from the M1 zone. And finally, Title 5, Chapter 8, Section 1004, proposing additional application requirements for energy production facilities through renewable sources and energy storage facilities to include a decommissioning plan, fire protection plan, and emergency response plan. It is likely that this ordinance will be more, will see more refined changes in the future as energy facilities continue to change and evolve. But the changes before you tonight are important to add clarification and protections in city code that currently do not exist. And with that, I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug?
No, sir.
Hey, Doug, was this modeled from like something from the state? I know we didn't have it before, but is this something that came from?
For the record, Doug Hansen, Kuna Planning and Zoning. This was modeled from some other areas of the state, some areas nationally, and partially off of what Ada County Development Services is currently going through with their zoning ordinance amendment. Okay. Yep. And we also worked with Kuna Rural Fire District, Kuna Police, and Idaho Power as well.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Anything further? All right, this is a public hearing. I didn't have anybody signed up to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter that didn't get a chance to sign in? All right, very good. Further questions for staff? And again, I think this is, like Doug mentioned, there's we're probably going to get a little more comprehensive in this part as we go on, but it was kind of important to get these things in ordinance because they didn't exist. So,
I didn't have anything to do. I make a motion we close the public hearing and move to deliberation.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
That's some interesting reading.
Yeah, that was a lot. Well,
I have no quarrel with this.
Yeah. I mean, it just sets the standards.
To have a standard.
Yeah.
There was a lot to consider. We, you know, we contacted the fire district because last summer we had three fires, two at one solar farm and one at the other one. And so it was important to bring in the fire district and find out what they need, what it needs to look like so that those fires don't roar off through the desert. And we got some very good input from them. And then just making sure that if they use those solar farms and that for a while, they can't just abandon things and leave a mess out there for somebody else to clean up. So those were important for us to get in. But Doug spent a lot of time working through this and sort of the staff. So
yeah, I like the exit plan. Having an exit plan on it was good. Did you have any questions? Move we approve case number 24-05-OA.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval of case number 24-05-0A. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Is there any opposed? And that motion carries.
Thank you, Doug and staff, for all your work on that.
And that takes us to case number 2404-S. Troy.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. For the record, Troy B. Hunan, Kuna Development Services Department. The application before you this evening is a request for a preliminary plat approval for approximately 8.52 acres, which is already zoned R6. Which is the medium density, residential density, and then to subdivide this into 32 single family lots with four common lots. The site is located near the intersection of School Avenue and Ardell Road, and the address currently is 1085 West Oak Tree Drive here in Kuna. staff would like to point out and highlight that there is a development agreement for the property that council approved back in June of 2022. One of the main conditions was waiting for sewer capacity, And there was a specific limited number of lots that were proposed at that time for a possible pre-plat. This pre-plat does appear to conform substantially with that approval and that approved development agreement. Staff has reviewed the proposed preliminary plat application for compliance with the development agreement, with CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statutes, the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, and should the council approve this preliminary plat application, staff does recommend that the applicant be subject to the conditions that are listed and proposed within the staff's memo. I will be here if the council or the mayor have any questions for staff, and the applicant does have a presentation, and they are present tonight.
Okay, questions for Troy?
Did you have any?
No, yes.
When I was looking at the packet, I didn't see a report from the district, from the school district.
All I can say is that there was a transmittal sent. I see Tim in the audience tonight. Perhaps he can clarify that for the school district.
Well, I think that's a couple of times. Have we checked to make sure Mr. Reno is still the one that's collecting those?
Mr. Reno is... He might be part of the transmittal, but he's not the only school district address that it gets sent to.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay, anything further? All right, if the applicant would like to come forward and state your name and address for the record.
And then do I have... All right. Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. I'm Elizabeth Kekeritz with Givens Pursley, 601 Bannock, Boise, Idaho. I'm here to present Schuyler Ranch. With me here today is Will Mason. He's been the engineer on this project, and he'll be able to answer technical questions that I might not have full knowledge about. As mentioned, we are today here just for a preliminary plat on the Schuyler Ranch subdivision. As staff mentioned, this property has already been annexed and zoned, and the proposed plat is in substantial conformance with the plat that it was attached, with the concept plat that was attached to the development agreement. I also always want to start by thanking the staff here. They're always absolutely fantastic to work with. I can tell you I go other places, and I would not say that everywhere that I go. So, moving on. Here you can see sort of the vicinity map. We want to orient you to the site. It's about an 8.5-acre site directly north of Ardell and near the intersection with School Avenue. And you can see that it is surrounded on three sides by development. And then directly to the north, there is a vacant lot. But then there's development farther north than that, which does make this a pretty, I mean, this is when you drive by it, it's an infill site here in CUNA. The zoning, it's not currently just zoned R6. There is also a component of R4 on the property, which really makes it compatible with the neighborhood. It's hard to tell on the zoning maps because they're just shades of yellow, but R6 is the darker shade of yellow. R4 is the lighter shade of yellow. There is a commercial component on the corner, which actually is primarily multifamily residential, south across Ardell, R4, R6. To the west is R4, and to the north is rural residential located in the county. As mentioned, the property, this was the original plat, was annexed into the property, into the city in 2022, and the development agreement was recorded in late 2022. That original development included this large lot that we're talking about right now, the 8.5 acres, as well as two smaller lots here. Those two lots have now each been sold. So they're not part of this. You can see here the prior development and the current proposal, and that they are substantially similar. As Troy mentioned, the big issue was sewer coming to the area. Those improvements have now been made. Sewer is available. And second, the other, that was really issue number one with the DA, and issue number two was that the proposed plat be in substantial conformance. And as you can see here, except for the proposed road extension that will end in a stub, it is substantially similar. And that was done at ACHD's request. The preliminary plat right here at the total project area is 8.52 acres, proposing 32 residential lots. And although most of the property is zoned R6, 23 of the lots meet the R4 dimensional standards and exceed 6,000 square feet. Of the 9 remaining lots, they're mostly these interior lots and a smaller lot down here, and they all exceed 5,000 square feet, when in the R6 zoning area, they could go as small as 4,000 square feet. So these are substantially bigger lots than just getting the absolute minimum lot size and is squeezing as much on as possible. And one of the reasons this is important is that on lots that are really at 5,000 square feet and larger, you can get a house with a 3-car garage. And that makes these just a lot more valuable. You can build bigger houses, make nicer homes. You can fit 3-car garages on smaller lots than that, but it gets really, really tight. There is a letter in the file from an individual named Keith Binkley. He lives up over here about where my cursor is, in this area, northeast of the property. And he does ask for R4 lots along the perimeter. And although these lots are zoned R6 along here, they all substantially exceed the R4 minimum lot size requirement. North to south, they go 9,000 square feet, 9,700 square feet, 10,000 square feet, 8,200 square feet, 8,500 square feet. And so the lots that are right here along the edge where they're most visible to the neighbors, these are much bigger lot sizes than what would be allowed for an R6 zone. He also, in his thing, which I believe I touch on here, he did ask that there be a pathway put along the west side of the canal, and that the client has agreed to do that. It was originally depicted in the CUNA master plan, pathway plan, on the east side of the development, but it sounds like maybe that didn't get built, and so there will be a pathway and that additional connectivity here on the west side of the canal. It's about 11.8% overall, overall open space. And as I mentioned, there will be that canal along there with grassy areas. And so we do have that, as well as additional open space here and more sort of little pocket park areas throughout. We meet all the dimensional requirements, do comply with all of the CUNA City Code. We are requesting approval of the Schuyler Ranch preliminary plat tonight. Councilmember Bruce, in response to your question, the first time the developer on this had heard from the school district was, in fact, they received a letter, an emailed letter yesterday, and so asking for a partnership. And so it didn't come before the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. It didn't come in the lead up to this. There hasn't been the opportunity to really reach out and meet with them and talk to them about what that sort of thing could or would look like. This is a very small development. The reason the two lots were sold off was to keep things afloat while waiting for the sewer to reach, to be made available for them again. There's not a ton of ability here, but they absolutely are willing to sit down and talk to the school district about what they'd be looking at. But just getting it yesterday afternoon, there just hasn't been time to make those connections yet. And with that, I will stand for any questions.
Okay, questions?
No, I like the fact that you, I just want to say thank you for keeping an R6. It fits that area nice, so thank you.
And I think I can see why ACHD required that road connection. It was
I did have a
one way in and out before, it looked like, so.
I did have one.
That's good.
One other question.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says traffic impact study. It says no. Did they just not require it on that development? Was it a size thing, or was it has it been done in the previously?
Mayor Stewart, Councilmember Bruce, it's a size thing. They don't require them. I don't know the number off the top of my head.
It was 99 homes or something like that.
Yeah,
that
100. Yeah, it's a larger subdivision than this.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
Okay, further questions?
None at this time.
All right. Thank you. All right, this is a public hearing. And I did have a couple of people sign up. Tim Jensen. There's your school.
Tim Jensen, CUNA School District 711, Porter Street. She kind of took a little bit of what I was going to let you know. To answer your question, Councilman Bruce, when this came across, the district was in the transition of Mr. Reno leaving and me coming in, and truly I didn't know that this was even around or a project until I saw this on the agenda. And so the reason why I signed up tonight to speak neutral was because the developer hadn't had an opportunity to work with the district, and it wasn't fair for me. I didn't feel like it was fair for us to get up and go one side or the other without giving them a fair chance to work with the district. I did want to just give you a bit of information to consider with this. It's in our boundaries of Silver Trail Elementary, CUNA Middle School, CUNA High School / Swan Falls High School. Silver Trail Elementary currently at 95% capacity. The high school's over capacity. CUNA Middle School at 90% capacity. And with the other developments that have already been approved, obviously there's an impact. I know it's a smaller development as compared to some of the other ones, you know, that we've, some of the applications that we've seen come in. But I felt it was important still to be able to give you that information for consideration. So I do, I apologize on behalf of us. This is literally one of those that was in that transition period of personnel handling these. And like I said, it just wasn't something that until I saw the agenda was like, we need to reach out. And so.
Good. Did you get an email about this? I mean, are you on the list now?
Yes.
We may need to modify that.
Yes, I am. And that's the thing. Like, that was one of the things when we were going through that transition point at the district. Part of it was, like, figuring out who's taking what responsibilities. And right now it's myself and Mr. Reddy, who's one of our assistant superintendents, who share the duties. But also we were trying to, you know, work with Mr. Reno on trying to catch up on all, you know, the projects that were, you know, that he had held on, and I was here with him for a couple of the meetings, you know, trying to sit in, and this is honestly just one of them that, in that transition time, if I'd have had it, this would have been a process we'd have started long ago with the developer.
And well, so, I appreciate that. I understand staff changes, and that makes things difficult sometimes. So,
and like I said, I didn't want to come up here and speak one way or the other without the developer having that fair opportunity to speak and work with the district. So,
good. All right. Any questions?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
You go ahead.
I just had a quick clarification. Yeah. Mr. Reno leaving, or is he just off this project?
He is not doing this capacity at all. His position in the district changed. He was at Swan Falls only, and now he's overseeing both the high schools. And because of those job responsibilities, you know, trying to do, you know, both high schools plus do this, it was just, yeah, it was,
okay, thank you.
It was too much.
And what's he do with all his extra time?
Yeah, supervise athletic games.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Bruce.
I appreciate the input. I think this has been a couple of times, though. So maybe work with the department and find a better way to communicate, because this is like the second project we've had, right? If I'm not mistaken.
It is.
Okay. So because we can't make the decision if we don't have the right information. So
that is correct. And I have, and Councilman Bruce, I understand where you're coming from, and that is one thing that Mr. Reddy and I have been since, you know, that last one, there wasn't a letter. We have actually sat down and refined our processes to make sure that it's not an ongoing issue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, good.
Thank you. And yeah. Welcome aboard.
Trial by fire.
All right. I had a couple other people sign in but didn't wish to testify. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify that didn't get a chance to sign in? All right. And that's all we have.
No rebuttal.
Did you want a chance to add anything?
Just one more thing. Elizabeth Kecker, I'm still looking at this personally. The developer is happy to reach out to have a meeting with the school district to see what sort of agreement they could come to. And if you were inclined to add that sort of condition of approval that they meet with the school district, something like that would be perfectly acceptable. We would ask, and this I'm trying to preempt where a discussion might go, that there not be a requirement that there be a financial, some sort of financial provision to the school district, because if that is included in the developer's conditions of approval, it's no longer a tax-deductible approval. It's being required, therefore it's not a donation, therefore you can't deduct it.
Mr. Mayor, can I speak to that?
Yes.
So that's something we would never ask you to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Just for clarification.
That's our head doing this.
Yeah, if you deal with the school district, it's voluntary between you and I, and we don't make decisions whether you do or do not partner with them. So.
And I just have one thing, kind of maybe for consideration also, is that if there are any entities out there like charter schools that or private schools that also might be willing to come into the area that you might want to partner with or look at, that might be something perhaps to think about, down, you know, maybe not necessarily for just this one. This is pretty small, but down the road. Because we all love CUNA School District, but we also, you know, maybe there's other things that might help offset the capacity issues before a bond can get passed.
Absolutely agree. This particular development is smaller than even the minimum lot size that the school district would accept.
Right.
Thank you.
I had one other question.
Sure.
Go ahead. Do you have a time frame of if you were to get an approval tonight, when you would turn dirt and when you would? It could be a ballpark, but that kind of gives us an idea of, hey, is this something that we need to look at?
Blame it on the engineer.
William Mason with Mason & Associates, 1904 3rd Street South, Indiana. By the time we get the plans designed and approvals, it's probably going to be hard to get a pavement down this year. So I'm guessing it would be fall construction, spring paving. So it would be next year before any flat would be required.
But okay. But this is your next project in line, right? And I'm just trying to get a time frame for other ones that are going to come on as well. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. With that in mind, I guess I kind of want to ask Mr. Jensen then, is there a bond? Is there a bond measure possibly coming up but within the next year, to your awareness?
The school board is discussing that.
Okay.
Is it? note.
Okay. So Mr. Jensen stated that the school board is in discussions on that topic now, so. Okay.
Any other questions?
Yes, sir.
Move we close the evidence presentation and move to deliberations.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing and move to deliberation. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I keep looking, it looks like a stomach. The design.
Are you hungry?
Must be. As one egress point right now, which is, you know, I guess it'd be a minor issue, but it meets ACHD standards. I actually like the design a lot. It fits right in well with the R4 transitioning to the R6. Has the green belt or the path on the inside of the lateral, which is also pretty nice. School issues notwithstanding, I think it's the size of it. The impact is probably going to be pretty minimal to the city compared to some of the other developments that we've seen.
Yeah.
I have nothing.
You don't have anything? Obviously, it's a backfill project. The schools are concerned, but I think what do we look at? Our calculation was 1.3 kids per per home,
that's
give or take.
It, yeah.
Yeah. You're at 90 and 90, I mean, I guess the question is, do you want to table it and let them discuss with the school district, or do you want to add that to the table it to a date certain of 2 weeks?
I say add it to the stipulation.
Did they have a discussion? How would you like to frame that,
Ms.? As far as I'm concerned, they've agreed to do that, and both parties were here and agreed to that, so I'm fine either way with that.
Is 2 weeks enough?
Well, do you want to table it, or do you want to just make like you said, just add it to the stipulation?
I think you can just add it to the motion.
Yeah.
I guess I agree.
I'd be good with that. Mark.
Mr. Attorney.
Mark Bybee, City Attorney. I would prefer if you not condition an approval on that for legal reasons. I don't think we can really condition the applicant to do that. I think if we want to afford them an opportunity before approval, that's an option, but I would request it not be a condition of the approval.
And can we set it to a date certain of without, I'm sorry, may I ask him a question, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Can we set it to a date certain of without another, since we've already had the public hearing, just for that one topic of discussion?
Yes, you can. You could continue with the possibility of reopening public hearing if you'd like to, but I think it would be limited to not a full-blown public hearing if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, we've addressed most of the concerns that I have and that they have. I think it would just be a time certain of even 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, I think they've both agreed to have that discussion, yep. So I don't even know that we really need to condition that in there, but.
Well, he said not to. He said not to condition
right.
It that way.
Right.
So,
I think during the testimony, like the mayor said, they both agreed to talk to each other, and I think it's all.
So you just want to approve it, and
that's my opinion.
I'll accept a motion if you've got one. Or you want me to motion it?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I was trying to find it on the agenda. I'll make a motion that we approve case number 2404-S, preliminary plat.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded, and then does that also include with the recommendations from staff report?
Yes, with the staff reports.
Okay. Second and still stand?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we have a motion and a second for approval. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
We Make your work for it. Make your work for it.
Oh, no, I lost it on the agenda. I couldn't find it.
That takes us to consideration to approve resolution R22-2025. Jared Empey.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Jared Empey, City Treasurer. So this resolution that you have before you tonight is to add a category for charges. So it doesn't affect any current users of the system. It merely adds an additional user structure for residential, not annexed properties. So this would include any subdivisions that need sewer services on a temporary basis for whatever reason. And then it also provides for the charging structure or the user rate structure that would start with $41.35 for the base rate as the current user rate is for residential users. However, instead of starting the tiered structure at 4,000 gallons, it immediately starts at 0 gallons. So in other words, as soon as you start using water, it immediately starts charging the incremental rate of $5 per 1,000 gallons. And so the reason for this is staff anticipates that this may be used in the future. It may not be, but we need it available in the event that it does have to be used in the future. So I stand for any questions, if there are any.
Okay, questions for Jared.
I don't have any. Do you, Representative or Councilman Biggs?
None. I have no questions.
So have you speaker and representative tonight, huh?
All right, this is a public hearing. I didn't have anybody sign in to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter that didn't get a chance to sign in? All right, seeing none.
I move that we close the public hearing and move to deliberation.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve resolution R22-2025.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval of R22-2025. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. That takes us to item 7A, consideration to approve resolution R23-2025, transportation priority list. Doug Hansen.
Mayor and Council, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. City of CUNA Planning and Zoning Department seeks your approval for the proposed 2025 CUNA prioritization request form to inform the next update to Ada County Highway District's five-year plan, formerly known as the Integrated Five-Year Work Plan. Staff aimed to maintain the project order as they are currently programmed within ACHD's five-year plan. By deprioritizing program projects, we run the risk of them being removed or pushed further down the list and delayed. The focus of the ranked projects were for pedestrian safety and intersection improvements. There were four projects that were either not programmed or programmed to be done at a later date that we did move up the list. For your capital improvement projects for roads and intersections, that would be improvements to Avalon Street from Bridge Ave to 10 Mile to widen it to three lanes with curb, gutter, sidewalk, and bike lanes in accordance with our master street map and plan arterial network. And two, that was moved up the priority list was the installation of a roundabout or signalization with pedestrian crossing at Deer Flat Road and K Street. The two projects that were added or moved up for our community programs, one, Avalon Street from 10 Mile Road to School Ave, that was to install an interim asphalt pathway on the south side of Avalon Road hopefully as an interim solution until the number one priority project for the capital improvement projects recently referenced could be completed. And then number two was to complete an unimproved 750-foot road section of K Ave. That would be from Deer Flat going north to Trophy Street. Enclosed in the packet, you will find the redline version of the 2025 Kino prioritization request form detailing the changes from the 2024 prioritization requests, the public outreach results gathered by ACHD, and the proposed resolution. And with that, I will stand by for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug?
No, this is awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have anything?
I know I'm coming from behind here. I'm trying to figure this out. Are we requesting a roundabout at Deer Flat and K?
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, I believe on ACHD's capital improvement plan, they are showing it as a roundabout. However, in our specific priority request, the main goal for us is intersection improvements, as with that being so close to the high school. Anything we can do to add to pedestrian safety for crossings and increase traffic flow would be of a benefit to the city.
Yeah, right now there's also a parking problem, and I don't think that's going to go away either. Chief, we talked about that, the school. We need, I don't know if ACHD can do it, put no parking signs up there. It seems like a simple project. Yes, sir.
Mayor, Councilman Laraway, Mike Fortusco, Chief of Police. 793 West 4th. So we did reach out to ACHD. I spoke with them, and they did put a few signs up just to alleviate the issue where they're leaving the church right there across from the high school. As far as further west, there's no signs up there. There's plenty of room. The bigger issue is parking at the school. I've spoken with the superintendent of the school district, and it's not high up on their list, and everything costs money, but they definitely need more parking. Those are all high school students parking there, and it is an eyesore, but as far as any legal issues, they're parking in an area where they're allowed to park as of right now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Doug.
Okay. Anything further?
I move we approve resolution R23-2025.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval of resolution R23-2025. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance 2025-05, appointed officials. Nancy Stauffer, I will report that I had asked for a change to be made there for in the event that we needed to expedite appointments. That change was made to my satisfaction. So, Nancy, I don't know if you have anything else you want to add about that, but this is the same ordinance that we had talked before.
That's what we discussed last time.
Yes.
Mayor and Council, for the record, Nancy Stauffer, Human Resource Director. There was no change made to the ordinance at all. And the only changes made were the ones that were requested by the mayor or suggested by the mayor in the resolution, and that is at 1.6.1.4 through 1.6.1.7.
I can live with those.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and do this reading then. This is an ordinance of the City of CUNA, Ada County, Idaho, adding new chapter 19 to title 1 of CUNA City Code to designate positions which will be appointed by the mayor, providing for savings and severability, directing the city clerk, and providing an effective date.
I move that we waive three readings of ordinance 2025-05.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2025-05.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the ordinance. Any further discussion on that motion? Garrett, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember Biggs.
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President Bruce.
Yes.
And that motion carries.
I move that we approve a summary publication of ordinance 2025-05.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for a summary publication. Any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. Consideration to approve resolution R19-2025. Nancy Stauffer.
Mayor and Council, Nancy Stauffer, Human Resources Director, City of Cuna. This is what we just discussed, and the change that was made was the 1.6.1.4 through 1.6.1.7.
Okay, so this is just approving the resolution.
Anything? I move we approve resolution R19-2025.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded for approval. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. I almost confused myself here.
I was looking at, yeah, I saw it.
All right. Consideration to approve ordinance 2025-06. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Cuna making certain findings and amending Chapter 4, Section 4 of Title 5, Cuna City Code, Decision-Making Authority Process Table, and amending Chapter 9, Part 2 of Title 5, Cuna City Code, Subdivision Approval Process, and amending Chapter 10, Section 8 of Title 5, Cuna City Code, Completion Time, and amending Chapter 10, Section 13 of Title 5, Cuna City Code, Landscape Buffer Width Based on Roadway Classification, and providing a severability clause, and directing the city clerk, and providing an effective date.
You guys, I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2025-06.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2025-06.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for the approval of ordinance. Any further discussion on that motion? Garrett, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember Biggs.
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President Bruce.
Yes.
And that motion carries.
I move we approve a summary publication of ordinance 2025-06.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for summary publication. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? And that motion carries. That is all we have on the open meeting agenda. We have an executive session. This should be a really short session, and no decisions will be made. And so when we come back out, we'll just say information received, no action taken. So
who do we need?
We need Adam and Mark and all of us up here.
I move we adjourn to executive session under 74-206C with Public Works Director Adam and our attorney Mark.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to enter executive session under 74-206C. All those in favor? Sorry. Garrett, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Biggs?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President Bruce?
Yes.
And that motion carries. All right. We're going to be in executive session for just a few minutes, and then we'll come back in.